Case 35. Wu Tzu. Which is the true Qian? Wu Tzu asked a monk. The woman Qian and her spirit separated. Which is the true Qian? If you realize the true one, then you'll know that emerging from one husk and entering another is like a traveler putting up at an inn. If this is still not clear, don't rush about recklessly. When you suddenly separate into earth, water, fire, and air, you'll be like a crab dropped into a boiling water, struggling with your seven hands and eight legs. Don't say I never told you. Wu Man's verse. The moon and the clouds are the same. Mountains and valleys are different. All are blessed. All are blessed. Is this one? Is this two? So in yesterday's talk, I gave you the story, and in today's the case, fundamentally the question, which is the true Qian? The one who fled and lived a happy life, married up the river, and came back to visit. Or the one who was sick, lying in bed, brokenhearted. From Awake at the Bedside, an essay by Norman Fisher, just to quote a few parts and intersperse it with a few thoughts of my own. Our first response to loss, difficulty, or pain is not to want to surrender to what has happened to us. It seems so negative, so wrong, and we don't want to give in to it. The tremendous benefit of simple meditation practice is most salient in these moments. We may witness ourselves trying to escape what we are for a long time, and then we may grow tired. And eventually, if we're lucky, maybe our heart breaks and we bow. Having exhausted all avenues of activity that might change your outward circumstances and given up on other means of finding inner relief for your raging or sinking mind, there is nothing left to do except sit down on your chair or cushion and just be present with your situation. You try to sit up straight with some basic human dignity. As I've told you, David Reinick used to always say to me when I was a mess, oh, just be the Buddha of whatever it is that was happening. And that's a very simple way of explaining, be the Buddha of grief, anger, and loss. You try to sit up straight with some basic human dignity. Your mind is a museum of negativity. And you are sitting there quietly breathing inside that museum. There is nothing else to do. You can't fix anything. The situation is beyond that. Gradually, it dawns on you that these dark thoughts and anxious feelings are just that. Thinking. Feeling. They are exhibits in the museum of negativity, but not necessarily realities in the outside world. I've talked about this before, how we see this. And folks, this is non-judgmental. To be really clear here, this is, of course, this is the way of the human heart-mind. But we all have had that moment where we see that there's a lot happening inside of us and we look around the room and everyone's just sitting here. And we realize, wow, this is my heart-mind revealing itself beautifully to me. This simple insight that thoughts and feelings are thoughts and feelings is slight, but it makes all the difference. Confronting, accepting, being with negative thinking and feeling, knowing that they are not the whole of reality and not you per se, is the most fruitful and beneficial of spiritual practices, better even than experiencing bliss or oneness. An interesting teaching there from Norman Fisher. I have just one more little passage from him that I'll read. Noticing the thoughts and feelings in the mind and heart, and perhaps also the sounds in the room and the stillness, something else also begins to come into view. You know, you notice the most fundamental of all facts. You are alive. You are a living, breathing, embodied human being. You can rest in this basic feeling, sitting there with this basic feeling of being alive. You might, I would add the word, eventually, begin to feel gratitude. After all, you didn't ask for this. You didn't earn it. It's just there. A gift to you. It won't last forever, but for now, in this moment, here it is, perfect, complete. And you are sharing it with everything else that exists in this stark, basic, and beautiful way. Whatever your problems and challenges may be, you are. You exist in this bright world with others, with trees, sky, water, stars, sun, moon, rain. If you sit there long enough and regularly enough, you will feel this, even in your darkest moments. I want to add that even very, very directly, you exist in the blood that pulses through the wound. Like the gold stitching together a broken teacup. The light shining through the crack in everything. As we discussed yesterday, this is integration, not denial. We are cultivating this capacity to compassionately and non-violently witness even the wound. And through this practice, we see that the wound is precisely where we also find mending, healing, wholeness. Witnessing what is rejects nothing. It denies nothing. It integrates our shadows, as we talked about yesterday. It chooses from our sutra we read, what we might otherwise deny. And in this way, we learn to no longer divide what is from what is. We no longer push parts of ourselves into the shadow lands. And as we read, and healing is situated in love, practicing this way with ourselves is precisely how we learn to practice this way with others, with all beings. This is our practice of healing the world. We can bring this practice that we are doing here together in this sendo of meeting ourselves just as we are, compassionately, tenderly, with love. We can bring this very practice into the world. It's hard. John Lewis said, "Don't let anyone pull you so low that you hate them." It's hard. It's so easy to get swept up in the initial reactivity, the part of us that rejects. And we do this to ourselves. The wounded part of ourselves, the places where we feel grief or shame, we want to bury those things. Disidentify from them. And ironically, that is precisely what creates our identification with them. It's what makes them feel real. Where ironically, when we let them unfold, when we bear witness to them open-heartedly, now, of course, they initially appear sometimes like a unmovable sludge. But that's okay. We're just there with that. And the deep teaching of the Dharma, everything changes just by shining the light within. The temptation to project it outward, to blame others, which, of course, isn't to say that there weren't causes. There were. Of course. And now this wound is our own. Our responsibility to meet, to witness, to care for. And the more we practice this with ourselves, this compassionate, loving witnessing, the more that practice becomes our way in the world. Of course, we'll still fall, we'll still fail. This is why we atone. That's inevitable. But we are practicing, allowing all beings to reside in our hearts. I think the more that we practice this, the more that we see that the inner world and the outer world are not separate. The wounds we carry inside of ourselves are mirrors to the world that is, quote, outside of ourselves. All of us torn apart by the way that families are torn apart, by the way that our country, by the way that our world is torn apart. Each of us inwardly experiencing all these things, perhaps resenting it, perhaps imagining if we could vanquish the enemy, that it would no longer be so. Well, this is where I take counsel from the words of so many, but being the change that we want to see in the world, that pointer toward possibility. What do I want to see in the world? Do I want to see more violence? Do I want to see more anger in the world? as we just read with Angel Kyodo Williams, healing is situated in love. And love and justice are not two. So much in this incredible koan. Which is the true you? The one who is wounded, the one who is happy, living a joyful life, what a powerful moment in the story, which is not really part of the koan, but in the story when the two meet and embrace. Where do we find that embrace? Again, a reminder, the aliveness of the blood pulsing through the wound. The healing, the mending in the midst, the possibility when we meet ourselves, when we meet the world with love. This is not an easy thing. But the irony is that it is so much easier than fighting against ourselves and what we are. We finally just allow whatever is arising in our hearts to be as it is. Oh, and it is so often heartbreaking. And right there is the love. Right there, in that heartbreak, is the love. Is the love. And possibility.